Picture a world where every swipe, every first date, every decision to marry or divorce follows invisible economic rules as predictable as supply and demand. Sounds cold? Perhaps. But viewing romance through an economic lens doesn't strip away its magic. It reveals why we make the choices we do, why hookup culture thrives on some campuses but not others, and why your grandmother's dating experience bears little resemblance to yours. The truth is, our most intimate decisions respond to incentives, costs, and market forces just as surely as our choice of morning coffee. When contraception became affordable, when women entered universities en masse, when online platforms let us filter potential partners by height and income, each shift fundamentally altered the economics of desire. This isn't about reducing love to spreadsheets. It's about understanding that behind every romantic choice lies a calculation we rarely acknowledge but always perform. The sexual revolution was economic, not moral. In 1900, only 6% of unmarried 19-year-old women were sexually active. By 2000, 75%. Contraceptive technology decoupled sex from pregnancy, fundamentally altering its opportunity cost. Yet, birth rates started falling during the Industrial Revolution, not the 1960s. By the 1930s, women averaged 2 children versus 7 in 1800. The pill attributed less than 1% to increased teenage sexual activity. The real driver? Declining social stigma eliminated the costs of premarital sex, shame, ostracism, ruined reputation. The economics vary by group. Women with limited education face lower opportunity costs for promiscuity. An unplanned pregnancy derails plans that didn't extend far anyway. Educated women with career ambitions face higher costs but can better afford them through abortion, adoption, or resources for single parenthood. As women became 60% of university students, those without higher education became marginalized in both job and relationship markets. When marriage prospects dim, today only 66% of unmarried 19 to 29-year-olds want to marry, the economic penalty for casual sex drops dramatically. College students believe they're living through history's most promiscuous era, yet they're having less sex than non-students their age. The explanation lies in market dynamics. Women significantly outnumber men on today's campuses, creating favorable conditions for men seeking casual sex. When buyers outnumber sellers, the price drops, and in the relationship market, that price is commitment. This isn't because men want sex more than women, it's because men want more partners. Women typically want one sexual partner over 2 years, while men average 8. Some 42% of men want multiple simultaneous partners compared to just 8% of women. With more women competing for fewer men, women must accept less commitment to participate. Binge drinking amplifies these dynamics. Research across 136 colleges found that 46% of students binged monthly, making them 94% more likely to have multiple partners. When Halifax imposed minimum drink prices in 2007, a 1% beer price increase lowered gonorrhea rates by 0.8%. Students with multiple casual partners actually have sex less frequently than those in committed relationships, explaining why non-students have more sex overall. Online dating promised to expand romantic possibilities, but may have made genuine connection harder to find. Digital platforms encourage filtering potential matches by quantifiable traits, age, height, income, education, eliminating promising partners before we ever meet them. This transforms what economists call thick markets into thin ones, paradoxically reducing match quality despite appearing to increase choice. Unlike shopping, where you can reconsider categories, online dating offers no second chances. Once filtered out, they're gone forever. The painful irony? People we might have loved deeply wouldn't survive our online filters, nor would we pass theirs. Digital searches emphasize easily measurable qualities over experiential ones that actually determine relationship success: shared humor, intellectual chemistry, complementary quirks. The data reveals brutal competition around physical attractiveness. A Hot or Not study found that increasing someone's attractiveness rating by 1 point increased their meeting requests by 130%. Men used a shotgun approach, being 240% more likely than women to click Meet Me. People are delusional about their market value. Less than 1% of online daters rate themselves below average. For women choosing men, an unattractive man needs approximately $186,000 more annual income than a very attractive man to be equally desirable. For men, no amount of female income compensates for lack of physical attractiveness. Digital matching has reinforced economic inequality, strengthening class divisions across generations. Marriage serves two economic functions: efficient production of household goods and insurance during hard times. This explains why marriage patterns follow predictable economic principles. We marry people of equal market value, though the most productive matches exploit complementary differences. Marriage produces three benefits more efficiently than singlehood: regular sex with lower risks, biological children, and household services. Research confirms married people have more frequent sex. 76% report intimacy 2 to 3 times monthly versus 57% of never married people. Marriage allows couples to exploit comparative advantage, with each partner specializing in tasks they do relatively better. This explained traditional gender roles during industrialization, when men held advantages in physical labor. As economies shifted to value mental abilities, these advantages changed. Research shows married women in high-income households gained 34 minutes of daily free time versus single counterparts, but low-income married women work 15 to 48 minutes more daily. Singles flock to cities for economic reasons, lower search costs, and higher quality matches. Dense populations mean more potential partners daily, making searches more efficient. When search costs drop, people set higher standards. This explains why educated singles, particularly women, struggle in urban markets. With more women completing college and preferring better educated men, there's a numerical imbalance. Even Hollywood's top actors marry partners with similar education levels, suggesting educational matching creates intellectual commonality, sustaining long-term partnerships. Jane's story illustrates how economic power shapes relationships. At 19, she married John, 9 years older, trading youth for financial stability. Moving across the world with no income or local connections, Jane lost all bargaining power. John unilaterally decided where they lived, whether to have children, their social circle, and household responsibilities. Research reveals women who take their husband's name face significant professional disadvantages, perceived as less intelligent, less ambitious, and more family-focused, resulting in fewer job offers and lower wages. Education strongly correlates with name choices. Women with master's degrees are 2.8 times more likely to keep their names than less educated women, while those with doctorates are 9.8 times more likely. Three factors have shifted bargaining power: women's increasing wages, technological advances reducing domestic labor, and growth of affordable services replacing household work. India's online dating market reveals how economic uncertainty reshapes preferences. Following the global recession, Indian women shifted focus from high-earning non-resident Indians toward local civil servants with predictable incomes, while men increasingly sought employed women. Searches for working brides rose 15% in 2008 alone. The educational landscape of marriage has transformed dramatically. In 1970, 28% of husbands had more education than wives, yet only 4% of women out-earned husbands. By 2017, just 19% of husbands were more educated, while 22% of women earned more. Income inequality drives divorce rates higher. A 1% increase in county-level inequality correlates with 1.2% more divorces. Google searches reveal infidelity as a top marital concern. Studies show 7% of women and 14% of men in first marriages admit to extramarital sex, though actual rates are likely higher. Infidelity follows cost-benefit analysis. Expected cost equals probability of discovery times probability spouse leaves times cost of divorce. A financially dependent homemaker with 30% discovery chance, 50% departure risk, and $100,000 loss faces $15,000 expected costs. A working woman with 5% discovery chance and $50,000 loss faces just $1,250. Financial independence makes infidelity economically cheaper. Biology adds complexity. The Coolidge effect explains renewed male sexual interest with new partners. Evolutionary theory suggests men evolved for multiple partners to maximize offspring, while women evolved to seek quality partners. Oral contraceptives eliminate biological preference for masculine-appearing men during ovulation. When women stop birth control to conceive, their partner may seem less desirable. Men's infidelity likelihood increases with age until 55, then declines. Women's infidelity peaks around 45, coinciding with declining fertility. Women in poorer households cheat more. Unhappy married women are 10 percentage points more likely to cheat than happy ones. Unhappy men, 12 percentage points more. A 17-year study reveals infidelity typically results from existing unhappiness rather than causing it, though it accelerates marital deterioration. In a world obsessed with romance as destiny, we've forgotten that love operates in markets as real as housing or labor. Your dating struggles aren't personal failures, they're responses to supply and demand. Understanding the economics of desire doesn't diminish romance, it illuminates why relationships thrive or crumble. The invisible hand doesn't just guide markets, it shapes our most intimate choices. Recognize these forces and you gain power to navigate them.